Reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have taken the shame of Egypt away from you." The Israelites pitched their camp at Gilgal and kept the Passover there on the 14th day of the month, at evening in the plain of Jericho. On the morrow of the Passover, they tasted the produce of that country, unleavened bread, and roasted ears of corn that same day. From that time, from their first eating of the produce of that country, the manna stopped falling. And having manna no longer, the Israelites fed from that year onwards on what the land of Canaan yielded. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise always on my lips. In the Lord my soul shall make its boast. The humble shall hear and be glad. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us praise His name. I sought the Lord and He answered me. From all my terrors He set me free. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Look towards Him and be radiant. Let your faces not be abashed. This poor man called, the Lord heard him and rescued him from all his distress. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. For anyone who is in Christ, there is new creation. The old creation is gone, and now the new one is here. It is all God's work. It was God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the work of handing on His reconciliation. In other words, God in Christ was reconciling the world to Himself, not holding men's fault against them, and He entrusted to us the news that they are reconciled. So we are ambassadors for Christ. It is as though God were appearing through us, and the appeal that we make in Christ's name is to be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the sinless one into sin, so that in him we might become the goodness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks to be the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus went along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. He spat on the ground, made a paste with spittle, put it over the eyes of the blind man and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So the blind man went off and washed himself, and came away with his sight restored. His neighbors and people who earlier had seen him begging said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Yes, it is the same one." Others said, "No, he only looks like him." The man himself said, "I am the man." They brought the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. It had been the Sabbath day, and Jesus made the paste and opened the man's eyes. So when the Pharisees asked him how he had opened his eyes, the Pharisees said, "This man cannot be from God. He does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How could a sinner produce signs like this?" And there was a disagreement among them. So they spoke to the blind man again. "What have you to say about him yourself now that he has opened your eyes?" "He is a prophet," replied the man. "Are you trying to teach us?" they replied. "And you a sinner through and through since you were born?" And they drove him away. Jesus heard they had driven him away, and when he found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Sir," the man replied, "tell me who he is so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You are looking at him. He is speaking to you." The man said, "Lord, I believe in you," and worshipped him. The Gospel of the Lord. As most of you know, I've been away for a couple of weeks, taking a break. And I'd gone back home. Although I was born in Hull, I always refer to Hull as Ireland. So it was really my mother's home. And as a family, we got together, remembered the good things, the bad things, our shared history, a trip to the graveyard, to the local village shop, and of course, to the pub for a drink of the black stuff. This trip brings back so many memories of my life. Things have changed tremendously. And it was a bit like Cottingham is. Cottingham has merged with Hull. There's no definable boundary as you go along a street. And it's the same there in Selbridge. That's become a satellite town of Dublin. Pope Francis recently said, "Going home is a bit like Lent. It's time to focus, a time to take stock of the place and the world we live in as we get older. To look at what is important to us as individuals. The Lenten journey that we're travelling throws up so many questions about our faith, our relationship. Especially in the world around us that sees so much trouble. How people who are oppressed in war situations immediately comes to mind. But this only is not in Ukraine, but it is in various places throughout the world. You may sometimes start to question, is there a God? When we see so vividly the harm and damage one country can do to another. And then I thought for a while and looked at a comparison with Jesus in his life. He was in an occupied land. He faced violence from probably nearly every day. People were brutalized by the occupation and the Roman soldiers. His family had to flee to preserve the child's life, uproot themselves and go into, they did not know where. The pictures on the television are vivid, but that parallel can be drawn. Jesus was suffering in the same way as so many people throughout the world are in turmoil because of aggression of someone who's a bit bigger, a bit stronger. From the child that is bullied in the playground to the suppression of the one's culture and traditions. And I appreciate it that maybe it's an oversimplification, but it does give us a chance to explore our Lenten journey with Jesus's feelings as he grew up as a child in a similar situation. The contrast of Gethsemane, where he spent 40 days in the wilderness of a broken and empty cities and a barren place, and places left barren by invading forces, gives us a different perspective on our life as a Christian as we read the gospel. Stressful it is for people directly involved, but we have our own stresses. Our own lives are invaded by consumerism, by the thoughts of how are we going to manage because of the electricity hype, of the gas hype, and the anxieties that that brings. So all these things that come into our lives and oppress us in different ways are things that we can draw parallels with how Jesus was oppressed on his Lenten journey. But one has hope. Jesus gives us hope. One moment in madness in all our lives can change how we perceive everything we see, touch, and do. Reflect on, is there something in your life that has changed? Is there a moment in time that has altered the way you live, the way you think, the way you operate? Is it something in your personality, your sexual and cultural, social context? We think about where we are going in this journey that sometimes we're so unprepared to take. But even Jesus had those pressures, those thoughts, those worries. This Mothering Sunday, I'm sure Jesus thought about how his mother was going to cope with his death. That's part of the humanity that he shares with us. So how can we reconcile things? That it's all right to say, yes, he was God, he could cope. So just ask yourself the simple questions about Jesus' life. Did he have teething troubles? Did he gnaw on his gums because of the pain? Did he have adolescent spots? Did he fall out with his parents as a teenager? If you say no, why not? Why didn't he? He was just like us. Understand his humanity during his Lenten journey, and then you will understand yours. It could have happened, and them anxieties happened long before he got to Golgotha, to Gethsemane, and certainly long before the Via Dolorosa. He lived in the shadow of death and the threat of violence hanging over him. And surely we do not think that the 40 days of temptation were restricted to just 40 days. The reality and burden that Jesus carried as a human being is the same as the burdens we carry. Jesus was more subtle than what we think he was. He was more pervasive and more constant than we can imagine. We have the opportunity now, during our Lenten journey, to unburden ourselves, to unburden our thoughts, our deeds, to give him the love that a child needs, that a teenager needs, that an adult needs, and the elderly need. He will return that love in many ways if we only open our hearts and admit he suffered the same as we do. We walk hand in hand to death with him.